Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth. Oh, we are in the season of Advent, the season of peace. Why are we running around so much? Well, we're going to find out from Deacon Rod Walker. Deacon Rod Walker is a deacon with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, and we're so happy that you stopped in today. How have you been?
I've been good. Been keeping very busy.
Okay.
And here we go, Advent.
That's
right?
The wrong word during Advent.
Yeah.
So you are you're in the throes of everything as well. Do you want to give an overview of what Advent is, please? And then let's talk about the irony of how it comes at a time when we're supposed to seek peace, but peace sometimes is hard to find.
It's hard to find sometimes in the especially this time of year. And so just, you know, what is Advent? So actually today it's the church recognizes it's the feast day of St. Andrew. And so Advent is based on that day. And it's traditionally, I think that goes back to maybe about the year 1000, somewhere in there. So it's been going on like this for about 1,000 years. In the Roman Rite, anyway, they take whatever day St. Andrew's feast day is, and this year it's Tuesday the 30th. The Sunday prior is the first day of Advent, and then that's how the Christmas calendar sort of works out. The four Sundays approaching then Christmas are the Sundays of Advent. So Advent is a time of preparation, and it's what we would call a penitential season, very similar to Lent. And a lot of people are familiar with Lent. And a lot of people don't associate that really with Advent, right? Because it's just, you just don't think about it that way, maybe. And, you know, the colors of the vestments that the priest or deacon wears are the same colors, Lent or Advent. And the reason for that is because it's that penitential season. So it's a time to really deepen our prayer life, and maybe a little self-guided fasting helps in that realm, too. So that's like that side of the coin. And then in opposition to that, we have shopping, parties.
And not fasting.
Cookies.
No kidding. Yes.
Anyway, baking parties. You know, so, and those are all good things in moderation, right? That's part of the tradition of a lot of families. And traditions are awesome. And so those are good. And we have those. And we have our little cookie baking session on the 12th of December, I guess, this year. So,
your family one?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We've been doing that for quite a few years now. And it's a good day. We have nieces and sometimes others join us, and the kitchen becomes a giant mess, and I get to wash a whole bunch of pots and pans. I'm kind of the pots and pans washer guy. And I stir some things. That's about it. But anyway. But yeah, so it's really kind of a conflict time of year for a lot of people. You know, I think people, you know, we generally kind of know, yeah, we're supposed to be preparing for the birth of Christ, yet there's an awful lot going on. So it's really it kind of like just talk, you know, praying about it and then saying, you know, where can I kind of back away from some of this secular Christmas stuff? I noticed this year, maybe it's happened in the past, but I was flipping through the radio dial and it was early in November. And one of the local bigger radio stations was playing their continual Christmas music already.
Yes.
I think it was like November 4th or something. And I'm like, what is this? I turned it off. It's like, you know, I don't need to hear that yet. And, you know, the church has these seasons for a reason. I mean, it's focal time, right? It's focus at a certain period of time. And so it just becomes more meaningful versus, let's just stretch this out to now before October. You'll see things in the big box stores, and they're having their Christmas sales.
We'll go right from Halloween to Christmas things in the store.
Right, and maybe even before. You know, I've seen some of that too, and I'm like, ugh. I just go, ugh, because people are missing the point of the whole thing if they're worried about that already. You know what I mean? For me, that just distracts from Christmas, what it's meant to be, you know.
I get a pit in my stomach actually if I hear Christmas carols early.
Yeah,
because it doesn't feel right.
No, it just doesn't feel right. And you know, I'm going to be 62, so I've been around a while now. And you know, when I think about Christmases past, I don't think about any of that stuff. I think about time with family. I think about time with my grandparents. Those are the gifts that last a long, long time. Not the stuff. Those, you know, that stuff gifts. I was like, what did I get for Christmas in 1973? I have no idea. But I know I was with Grandpa and Grandma, you know. Those are the memories that really last, so.
So we look at Advent as a time of reflection, as a time of preparation. Do you want to expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah, so really the church is in the church season of Advent, we're preparing actually for three things. And a lot of times people aren't really aware of that, but we're obviously preparing for the birth of Christ. That's the obvious one. The other one, though, is we prepare for the second coming of Christ. And actually, the readings at our masses, the first half of Advent, are more about the second coming of Christ. And, you know, as we go through those readings, people may be going, well, why are we talking about John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord? Well, the Lord's already 30-some years old. I don't get this. And really, it's that dual view of Christ's first coming, Christ's second coming. And, you know, it's we need to remember as Christians that we're here, we're waiting. We weren't here for the first coming, right? We remember that, but we're waiting for the second coming. And that's our anticipation, but it's all born out of that first coming at Christmas. And then the in between there is the coming of Christ every Mass at the Eucharist. He comes to be with us. And that's, so it's a three-part Advent where we're focusing on those three things. A lot of times it's just birth of Christ, but there's more to it than that.
So when you look at Advent, it's a series of weeks. Do you want to break the weeks out as well?
Yeah, so there's really, it's like the first couple of weeks we're talking about second coming, and then we have in the middle, we have, I always pronounce this wrong.
Gaudete?
Yeah, Gaudete Sunday. And really, that exists as kind of like a reminder that you're halfway there, kind of like you're still progressing.
Your vestments are different.
Yeah, the priests will have on, they're not pink, they're mauve or whatever, different color.
Our Advent candle is different.
Yeah, right. That's the pinkish colored Advent calendar in the circle of Advent, or Advent wreaths, rather. Sorry, Advent wreath. And it's just a reminder that you were still progressing, not to lose, you know, like you're running a little marathon. It's like, oh, I'm at mile 18. I'm getting pooped out. No, keep going. Here's the pink reminder. You're only a full week away, you know, one more week of Advent and then you're at Christmas. So, yeah, that's kind of how that breaks out. So
how would you suggest we prepare our hearts and souls for Christmas?
Well, everybody's going to have their own correct way, I think. So you have to ask God, what is my correct way, right? And the key is to spend that moment to actually have that conversation with God. And maybe it's been a long time since you've had a conversation with God, and just say, hey, God, here I am. It's Advent. I want to get to know you a little bit better. How would you like you and I to engage? And maybe that's, you know, 5 minutes of quiet prayer time in a chair every morning. You know, maybe it's praying a rosary for a lot of Catholics, just to say, I'm going to actually make the habit of doing that during Advent. It, you know, it could very well be fasting. I'm going to fast from, you know, I'm trying to fast from sweets now so I can enjoy them during the Christmas season. We're really leading to is the 12 days of Christmas, actually. Advent is preparation for the birth of Christ, but then there's the 12 days of Christmas. That's a 12-day feast in the church. So then it's like, you know, that's like enjoy. You know, that's a feast, right? We're supposed to enjoy. Enjoy for the purpose of Christ as Emmanuel, God is with us, and rejoice. And so the problem in society is we start rejoicing like way too early.
And that's not terrible.
Right. But if we're not thinking in terms of what is really going on here, then Christmas becomes something different. And
just another day,
yeah,
in the celebration.
Yeah, just another day. That's a good way to put it. And it's of course, it's not just another day. It is like the day. There's kind of two the days in Christianity. There's Christmas, and then there's Easter Sunday, Jesus is resurrected. So those are kind of two the days, if you will, right?
So how will you prepare? What are you going to be doing besides fasting from sweets?
I'm trying to just be quiet, just find quiet time. I found a little bit of that this morning, waiting, just waiting for someone. And I was like, oh, finally, quiet time. I just by myself, just quiet time.
And why is quiet time important? I agree with you, but I don't think that we embrace it as much as we should.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's hard to get comfortable in our own skin sometimes because we're used to noise, TV going, radio going. I've learned over time just to shut all that off. I was very much a TV has always got to be in the background, or a radio or something. It's rare that I do that now. And
why is that? What has shifted in your life?
I just think I need that time to just say, you know, God may not have a darn thing to say to me, but he might.
But in case he does.
In case he does, I'm here.
You want to hear him.
Right, exactly. I don't want to miss that.
Exactly.
And then, you know, I think a lot. You just think a lot about things. And sometimes I think, well, if for me, in those thoughts, we may not see it right away, but then we go, okay, that was probably a good thought. Maybe I need to do this or visit this person or do, you know, something. And you kind of follow through with that. And then after that, you go, whoa, that was really good. Thank you, God, for just dropping that little seed in me. And, you know, and thank goodness I was quiet enough where I could hear it, you know, that kind of thing. So,
and that really is what God does, isn't it? He talks to us all the time, but sometimes we are too focused on something else to listen, perhaps.
Yeah, we're just too busy. You know, we live in a culture that that just expects us to be busy.
I think it's almost like a badge of courage when you talk to people. You meet them in the grocery store. How's it going? Oh, we're so busy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything, really.
Yeah. That busyness is not going to take you to the gates of heaven if it's worldly busyness. And even if it's heavenly busyness, right? God doesn't expect us to be out busy all the time. We have moments in the day where for a deacon and a priest, we're expected to just stop and pray. And so that's for a deacon, it's mornings and evenings. We pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and, you know, it's a 10-15 minute prayer morning and evening. And I look forward to those moments. It's like, it's my time with God. All right. That's all I'm going to be doing right now, and find a quiet place. And that's what we do. And so that's available to everybody, just in different forms, right? And whatever you're comfortable with and whatever God's sort of leading you to. It's just listen to your heart and say, especially during Advent, just listen to your heart and say, God, where do you want me to go pray, or what do you want me to do, or do you want me to go actually out and serve others more so this time of year? And I'm confident it's a different answer for everybody. So no one person can say, well, this is what you're supposed to do. That person can direct you to listen to God, but it's really between you and God what that looks like.
One of my favorite things to do during this time period is to actually sit in quiet reflection in front of the Christmas tree.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. It's magical to me.
It is magical to me, too. And we always, it's kind of been our tradition in our family. We have a real tree, which is, to be honest with you, kind of a pain.
You don't know, still go out and cut it
we
down.
We used to. Now we go to a particular place that always has a pretty good selection. But we set that up yesterday. You know, when you get that smell of a fresh tree and it's quiet in the house and the lights are on, there's a great spot to pray.
Absolutely.
You know.
And just find peace.
And find peace. Right, exactly.
So how has it been? Is this your third year being a deacon?
Coming up next week, it'll be two.
2 years.
Second anniversary.
Wow, congratulations to you. So what have you taken away from your time as a deacon?
I think that for me as a deacon, I'm called to just be available to people. You know, we have our certain, you know, things I do. I assist at Mass and those kinds of things. And I preach every Friday and one weekend a month. And there's a lot of prep time for me that goes into that. But it's just to be more broadly available to people. And whatever that means. Yesterday, I attended a funeral in northern Iowa. A parishioner's originally from there. And just to be with his family, who I don't know. I just know the parishioner. But I was very happy I could take the time and do that and just be available to them and be a witness that Terry Simon, that Terry meant something to us at our parish. He did. He was very engaged and was getting sort of broadening his faith journey over the last few years, and then unfortunately he was taken from us. So, but God had a plan for that, so we'll have to just see what that all means. But of course it hurts a lot. So
those are the types of things that are very meaningful, I would assume, for you as a deacon, is being with people when they need it the most.
Right, and so, you know, and oftentimes, most of the time, we have no real idea what the impacts are, and we just leave that up to God. But every once in a while, somebody will talk to me about something, maybe a visit like a year ago, and I'm like, wow, how could you remember that? But they'll say something, and I'm like, well, God was, you know, I won't necessarily see God at work in that visit, but something happened in their life that God was indeed at work, and I'm like, okay, then I'm being available and doing what God wants me to do. It's affirming for me that I'm doing what God's asking me to do. You know, it's not always just laid out right in front of me. I just kind of have to go, well, I have to trust, you know, that what God is asking comes through other things sometimes, and I get my little affirmations once in a while, so that's a good thing.
So the gift of time, I think, is what you're talking about. Also, that's an important thing, and maybe if we can't think of what to purchase for somebody, that would be a great Christmas gift.
Yeah, yeah. Your time with someone, there is no better gift, period, right? And if you want to make a few cookies and bring those along, that's okay.
Are you going to give out your home address?
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes that's the bridge, right? Bringing over cookies. How do you bridge the gap versus just coming over? It's like, hey, you know, we made some Christmas cookies here. I'm just going to drop a few off. And then you sit down and you have a conversation. And that conversation just could be the hugest gift that person receives for Christmas. And I actually think I've already received my hugest gift. I had a little conversation with someone last Friday, which was totally unexpected. And stranger, I have never met the person, probably never see the person again. And it was maybe a 1 minute conversation. But for me, that was a huge gift because of something that person said. And it just really affirmed that the Holy Spirit was in that little 1 minute. There was a lot going on there that I didn't expect. And I'm sure that other person didn't expect, but we both recognized it and smiled and just kind of then we moved on. But it was a very, very good and solid affirmation that when we meet with someone we don't know, things oftentimes happen that we don't necessarily see. And that's what Christianity is kind of about. It's like we can't always have one-for-one results. I come from the business world. Show me your return on investment. Now, okay, that doesn't work this way in this business, right? But every once in a while, got to drop me a little hint, there was some return on investment there.
Well, I think we'll find that out in heaven, hopefully.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think there's a pretty good-sized book, good and bad.
Oh, I know, Paul. I'm positive of that. Deacon Rod Walker, so great to see you. Thank you. Happy Advent to you.
Yep,
I hope it's
you.
A peaceful time.
Yep.
And we appreciate your time today.
All right.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.